Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, March 30th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. The University of Wyoming has narrowed the search for its next president to two finalists. More than 100 applicants sought to replace the outgoing president, Ed Seidel. He has served in that role since 2020 and will retire from Old Main this summer. The final candidates include UW's own College of Agriculture Dean Kelly Crane, whose relationship with the university began in the 90s. He has held leadership roles at UW since returning to the state 15 years ago. The other finalist is Shane Reeves, a brigadier general who has served in several legal positions for the U.S. military and taught law at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Both Crane and Reeves will host public presentations and Q&A sessions on campus this week. A seventh Republican has announced his candidacy to be Wyoming's lone U.S. House representative. Frank Chapman is the owner and operator of Heart Six Ranch in Moran. He also practiced law for three decades. He says he was encouraged to run for Congress because he thinks President Trump has been successful in changing the direction of the country.
In Wyoming, we've got issues with BLM, national parks, the USDA. Everybody is trying to infringe upon your right as a Wyoming landowner. When we come together and fight, we can beat anyone.
Chapman lists his top priorities as make America great again, secure our borders, and grow the economy by cutting taxes and letting the free market system work. Wyoming's primary election is on August 18th. Rivers in our region have been under increasing pressure from drought and growing water demand, but new research suggests some ecosystems may be more resilient than previously thought. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radle has more.
For more than a decade, researchers tracked a stretch of southwestern New Mexico's Gila River, which eventually feeds the Colorado River, and they found something surprising. Even during extremely low flows, the river's floodplain can still support native cottonwood and willow trees, thanks to a network of side channels that spread water across the landscape. Martha Cooper with the Nature Conservancy says it comes down to working with, not against, the river's natural processes.
Let's manage rivers to promote their health and function, and that's retaining the flows, giving them space. So when there are floods, they can spread out and do good work.
During floods, those side channels form and help plants tap into shallow groundwater, even far from the main river. She says the findings could have implications along the Colorado River Basin, as climate change brings more intense drought and bigger floods. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radle.
New federal funding will allow researchers across the Mountain West to study the polluted air associated with wildfires. Yvette Fernandez has more.
The Nevada-based nonprofit Desert Research Institute has landed a $1.3 million grant to work with NASA, focusing on the health impacts associated with wildfire smoke. Studies will begin in Nevada and eventually include other western states like Arizona, New Mexico, Idaho, and Utah. Tim Brown, who heads the Institute's Western Regional Climate Center, says the goal is to fill gaps in scientists' knowledge about wildfire smoke.
So far, it's very simplified models. So the idea is to try and improve upon that to get more accuracy, to get more predictability.
Monitoring air quality can help mitigate the exposure to what's called particulate matter 2.5 pollutants, the microscopic particles that float in the air as a result of wildfire smoke can become lodged in people's respiratory and cardiovascular systems, causing a range of health problems from COPD to type 2 diabetes. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
New data shows the Mountain West is emerging as a national leader in battery storage. Caleb Radle has more.
Last year, the U.S. installed nearly 58 gigawatt hours of battery storage, enough to power almost 2 million homes for a full day. That's the largest single-year buildout on record, and the Mountain West is leading the charge. Five states ranked in the top 10 for battery storage, including Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Idaho, and Colorado. Report authors say storage makes renewable energy more reliable, capturing solar power during the day and releasing it when demand peaks in the evening. Joan White with the Solar Energy Industries Association says it's becoming a critical part of the modern grid.
energy storage helps the grid step into the 21st century. So responding to large loads, including AI and data centers, but also growing consumer demand for EVs and home heating and electrification.
But she warns that federal policy can be a hurdle, and that incentives and permitting will determine how quickly new projects actually get built. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on March 29, 1888, the Capitol building was completed. On March 30, 1891, President Benjamin Harrison established the Yellowstone Timberland Reserve, east and south of the national park. It was the first forest reserve in the country and led to the modern-day Forest Service. It's now known as the Shoshone National Forest. On April 1, 1915, the first monkey born in Wyoming was born in Lander. We don't know exactly how many monkeys have been born here since. On April 3, 1906, an ex-convict broke into a saloon in Cheyenne. Police found him calmly smoking a cigar when they arrived. On April 3, 1970, the Point of Rocks stage station was added to the National Register of Historic Places. And on March 31, 1976, the Gillette News Record reported that the Newcomers Club was going to serve a new dessert at the club's spring-style show. Marjorie Rainwater had brought the recipe for meringue and nut pie with her from Houston, but the ladies decided to rename it Marjorie's Delight in her honor. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Wyoming Public Radio got its start 60 years ago. Where on the University of Wyoming campus was the original home of its broadcast studios? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, how many Congressional Medal of Honor recipients have been from Wyoming? Wyoming has been home to 17 Congressional Medal of Honor recipients. They served across various conflicts from the Civil War to the Vietnam War, representing the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps. Looking back, several of those awarded have not been without controversy, though, as there are at least six recipients recognized for their actions during the Indian campaigns of the 19th century. Congratulations to Aaron Lundahl, who is the first person with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow. Thank you.